was framed. Three times in the garden. If it be your will, O Lord, let this cup pass over me. But he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but your will be done. No, Lord, I will accept your perfect will for my life today. Yeah, yeah, 'cause you hold my destiny. You have a purpose for me. You have a plan for me, oh Lord. I want to follow your will. I love your perfect will. I love the choice you make for me. I just love the mystery of your will. So take my hand and walk with me. Oh Lord, I trust in your will. I believe in your word. I will go all the way, yeah. Lord, I will accept your perfect will for my life today, yeah, yeah. You hold my destiny. You have a purpose for me, oh yeah. You have a plan for me, oh Lord. I want to follow your will, oh yeah. You hold my destiny. You have a purpose for me. You have a plan for me, oh Lord. I want to follow your will. Every day, every night, when I'm down on my knees praying here, that your will may be done, your purpose fulfilled in my life. I will follow where you go. I'll follow. I will listen to your word. I'll follow. I will do what you say, Lord. I'll follow forever, 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 yeah. And I'm glad to follow you. You hold my destiny. You have a purpose for me, oh. You have a plan for me, oh Lord. I want to follow your will. You hold my destiny. You have a purpose for me. You have a plan for me, oh Lord. I want to follow your will. Yes, I will. It's all right. I'll do what you say. It's all right. I'll follow. I'll follow your will. It's all right. I'll do what you say, Lord. It's all right. I'll follow. I'll follow your will. It's all right. I'll do what you say. It's all right. I'll follow you all the way.
Hallelujah. It is now time for the base part of the service. Amen. Why don't we all rise to our feet with much appreciation? Hallelujah. We've got our prophet in the house. We've got our pastor in the house. Amen. The Bible says heaven and earth passes away, but the word remains. Why don't we give a clap offering for my father, your pastor, Pastor Chris.
Hallelujah. Come on, put some. Father, we thank you for this morning and for the new year that you have allowed us to see. May our lives be useful and fruitful in your hands for this 2019. In Jesus' name we pray. Lead us now by your Holy Spirit as we study the word. Amen. You may be seated, and a good welcome and good morning to everybody. Let me just make sure that we have organized with our children, or are they staying here? All right, good. Well, We are back and we are excited for what God is going to do for us in this year. Amen. We've declared this year a year of a series of victories for you. And it won't be one victory, but many victories. Hallelujah. This morning, Derek showed us his bicycle and he said bought himself the new bicycle as the first of the series of victories that he will experience in 2019. Hallelujah. So we are glad you're here. To all those that have gone on holiday, we welcome you back. And we want to assure you that God is going to do mighty things. That we're going to make some changes in the church this year. But it's all just for improvement and enhancement of the Lord's work. Hallelujah. How many of you know we live in the last days? Jesus Christ spoke about the last days. He said it will be like the days of Noah and the days of Lot, where people will only have time for parties and pleasure. They don't respect God and the house of God. You see, so it's actually very difficult to have church in the last days because people love pleasure and sin. And we are in the battle trying to rescue people in the oceans of despair and destruction. Throwing out lifelines to say, grab onto this, my brother. You could be saved in the last days. In the days of Noah, people made fun of the preacher. They said, no. This thing is can't be true. And the Bible says only 8 were saved. Only how many? Only 8. So few people serve God. Are you listening? People love the world and the pleasure of the world, but they can't serve God. May it be your ambition, your desire to say no to the world and to follow Jesus, to serve God. And there came a great destruction on the people in the days of Noah. The flood waters killed them all. God wanted to kill all people because of the evil on the earth. But the Bible says Noah found favor. May you find favor in the eyes of God. May you find grace. The word favor is grace. The grace of God. The grace of God was enough for one man. And through one man's favor, the other family members were also saved. Hey, if you don't find favor, maybe ask the Lord that you can cling to somebody who can find favor. Because Noah's children didn't find favor, but because of Noah, the 8 of his family were saved. Hallelujah. So as I was contemplating many things in this holiday, I realized that the last days makes it so hard for us to reach out to people. And Christians are falling by the wayside like flies because they don't have the power of the Holy Spirit to carry them in the last days. You see, without the Holy Spirit's power, you'll never make it as a Christian. Your own strength is too weak. I mean, everybody in the beginning of the year, we have these lofty ambitions that we're going to... Dia, gaat ons hier recht in, is het waar? Eish. En dat januari maand zo naar einde toe trekken. En dan zeg je, hoe krachtig is het kot. And you can't resist. I heard somebody say, living as a Christian could be either difficult or easy. You see? It depends who you surround yourself with. Makes your living difficult or easy. You see, if I'm surrounded by cigarette smokers all the time, I will be tempted to smoke. But as now, I'm not tempted to smoke. My wife doesn't smoke. My children don't smoke. Nobody, there's no cigarettes in my house because I've surrounded myself by a certain type of people. As for drinking, I don't have an appetite for wine because the friends I'm with, they don't drink. Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? Yeah, so it's important. Depends who you surround yourself with to survive in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Say, hey, Pastor, I couldn't help it. The temptation was too strong. Praise God. How many of you know this year our main theme will be, our main focus will be to build the church in Symphony Way. And we are still on Project Steel. We are praying that all of you will honor your pledges that you made, because we have the final drawings of our plans. So hopefully by this January month it will be submitted and passed, and all we need is the money to bring the steel people to put up the steel structure of our mega church. Amen. And God is going to show you how beautiful it can be this year in 2019. We will do that by God's grace. Amen. May you be part of it and may you see it. Not everybody will be part of it. People are always falling. It is the scripture that the road is narrow for those who serve God, and the road is broad for those who don't serve Him. You see. So pray that you will remain. Will remain, you see, so that you can get a crown of victory and see the glorious building that God has promised us 15 years ago is now coming to pass. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So that's the main thrust for us for this year, to put that up. But we're also blessed at our conference. We'll be receiving a great man of God from Ghana in March, Bishop Eddie. He's going to be with us, and we are sure that it's going to be a marvelous convention because of his popularity. So we'll be having lighthouse churches coming from all over the country to be with us, because this is one of God's great servants who's joining us. And then, as you saw, the Cape Town for Jesus, we are going to bus you all with us that day for the Cape Town for Jesus. We'll tell you more about it as time goes on. But we start fasting tomorrow. I heard people shout. I was so excited to hear people shout. Because normally people don't shout for fasting. Isn't it? But people can pretend a lot in the church, you know. People can make you think they love certain things, but they don't. This morning I want to talk to you about the flesh and the spirit, you see, because these are two enemies of each other. And most people, they don't know how to subdue the flesh. And that is why we are going into a period of fasting, starting tomorrow, and it ends. It's a period, it's an atmosphere that we want the church to be in. Now, we are doing this to say that everybody can probably fast on the level that you are at. All people are not at the same level. So we are expecting our leaders to pray at least 3 hours a day, and others that can't make it, just 2 hours. So you do your first hour in the morning and you find 2 more hours later. The third one will be the evening at the tent. There'll be prayer every night. If you can't make it every night, choose the night you can go. Are you listening? It will be from 7 in the evening till 8:30. We don't want to be late. Just 7 till 8:30, then we are gone. So there'll be music, there'll be prayer, and throughout the day at the tent, that's our own property now, you can go to pray there, and it can make up your 3 hours if you want to be of those, that group. But there's a second group, a 2-hour group, and then there's the 1 hour for the babies. Amen. Ask your neighbor, what are you? Are you a mature, or you're a child, or you're a baby? There are 3 levels of Christianity. Everybody grows from a certain level to a certain level. Are you with me? So if you were fasted last year for 1 hour, this year you must do 2 hours. Pray for 2 hours. Pray for 2 hours. We will be leading the prayer there. The pastors will be leading the prayer. Every night will be different pastors. I'll be there tomorrow night to start it off, and then every Wednesday. Then also, there's going to be 2 Fridays of all-night prayer. We go from 10 right through till 5 in the morning. Are you excited? Okay, pretend to be excited. I know you're not excited. Nobody's excited for prayer. But don't worry about it, you see, because the carnal man, he cannot please God. But if I say party, if I say bride, it's normal, because it's the carnal, the flesh. The flesh loves pleasure. Amen. That's why the flesh won't go to heaven. The flesh will rot in the ground. The flesh is both our bodies, but it's also our carnal desires. What you desire. Hey! And the devil wins people through their fleshly desires. It's an enemy. Come, let's read the Bible and we see what the Bible says. Galatians. Amen. Here it is. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. The Apostle Paul writes, he says in the New American Standard, I don't know if we have that, but okay, but this is also okay. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. Amen. Walk by the Holy Spirit, because each of us is dependent on the Holy Spirit. These are just different translations. Then verse 17, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to the one to the other. Can somebody just remove the pulpit for the people to see? These are contrary to the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. Now, put it for the people in normal English. Please. Verse 16 first, please. Verse 16. Yeah. It says, I say to you, so I say, let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. This is more clear to understand, isn't it true? Say amen. Who must guide your lives? Who must guide your lives? The Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. Just leave it there. I like that verse. So all of you are not doing what God wants. It's your sinful nature is leading you. Your sinful nature is leading you. This morning I got a text from one of the mothers in our church. Said, don't let my son do this and this and this in the church. He's a pretender. Yeah. He says he's a pretender. He's with the worldly friends. Then in the church he wants to do this, this and that and that. No, she says, please let him sit down. Mother, I beg me. Not that I said, the mother begged me. Because the flesh, you see, let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. And we must be honest, you see, the sinful nature craves many things. The church must not be a place of pretense. Eating is one part of it, you see. Eating is one part of it. So fasting, it addresses that part. But there are many other sinful things that the flesh desires. You know yourself. You know yourself. So let's be reserved this morning and not mention all the evil things in our lives. Go to verse 17, please, Mr. Projector. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. Do you understand the English? So now, if you are busy with the wrong things, then you know what Pastor is teaching you. It's your sinful nature, because you are not led by the Spirit. But from this month forward, the Holy Spirit will start to take control of you in Jesus' name. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite. I love this, of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intentions. Aye! What is your intentions for 2019? Wouldn't you want to be regular church attenders? Ish. Your intention to fast, isn't it to fast for 21 days? Your intention is to give to the church, isn't it? Your intention is what? To live a happily married life, isn't it? Ladies, is to stop fighting and shouting in the house, isn't it? It's your intention. Husbands, is to love your wives and to bring flowers home, isn't it? Good intentions. But you see, there's a problem.
There's a problem. It's the sinful nature. It's a force that is fighting the good intention. And so we see how people struggle. So the Holy Spirit was actually speaking to me when I was studying this. He said, as soon as people are born again, we must quickly move them to a new process of being filled with the Spirit. Because without the Holy Spirit, you can never fight these evil desires of the flesh. You are too weak. You need power. Hallelujah. You need power. And I'm going to tell you something that will make you understand why fasting is important. Because you see, Jesus of Nazareth, he also fasted. And when he spoke to the people on the mountain, or he spoke to his disciples, he said there are three things he's expecting of them to do. They must pray always, they must give to the poor, and they must fast. So he said, when you pray, when you fast, when you give. He said, when you fast, anoint your head with oil, wash your face. Don't make as if you are fasting. Don't go around telling everybody you are fasting because you are looking for attention from people. It's between you and God. Amen. It's okay for us in the church because we are calling what we call a corporate fast. A corporate fast is when a pastor calls a fast for everybody. Now, there are many churches fasting this time of the year, and it's a very good thing to do because it's the beginning. Anything you do in the beginning sets a trend for what will happen afterwards. Isn't it right? That's why our tithe is the first of what we have in our money. It's the first fruit we give to God so that the other 9/10 are blessed by the Lord. Hallelujah. So, Jesus Christ, after he was baptized in the River Jordan, the Holy Spirit came upon him. How many of you know that the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus? But now you see, he didn't just, after receiving the Spirit, Jesus didn't just go and do the miracles. Isn't it strange? After that coming of the Spirit, he then went into the wilderness to fast. Think about it. And the Spirit has already come. But the power comes through the fasting. Are you learning? And the devil attacked him in the period of his fasting. 40 days with no food. And he defeated Satan. It was the first of the series of victories that Jesus experienced by defeating Satan. You will also experience the defeat of Satan in your fasting. Are you listening? It's a practice that the church has somehow neglected, but thank God, our church. I'm preparing you for tomorrow. Amen. So I'm teaching you about the importance and the mechanisms of fasting. Let's call the sermon the key of fasting. And it will help you with this thing because you see, you need power. This is what you need. You need what? You need power. And power comes through fasting because your intentions are good. Pastor, I want to. Pastor, I really want to serve God. Pastor, I really want to be a faithful Christian. Pastor, I want to be a regular Christian. Pastor, I want to be a loyal Christian. But the carnal desires is too strong. And that is why many people don't make it and many people fail. But we trust God that you will not fail in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. So fasting is a definition. It's when you leave food voluntarily. Not that people force you. Some people don't have food in the house, so they can't be fasting. That is a forced not eating. Fasting is when they eat food and still you don't eat. Wow. Isn't that powerful? It's even when you are fasting that the food smells nicer than normal. Amen. You never smell the food, but when it's fasting time. Now, so it's a voluntary abstaining from food for spiritual purposes. There's also many benefits physically, but the main thing is the spirit. Amen. And we will notice that you fasted because you'll be thinner than what you were on the 14th of January. If there's no change in your size, it means you haven't been fasting with us. We can see, you know, many years ago, there was a man of God called Nicky van der Westhuizen. He was a great man of God, a white man in South Africa. And he fasted for 40 days. And when they brought him to the crusade, two people had to carry him because he was too thin and too weak to lift himself onto the platform. But God did mighty miracles to this man because of the fasting and prayer that he went into. But you could see that the suit that they had was now too big. Are you with me? So when your clothes start to become smaller, then it means the fasting is real. Hey! We'll see. Amen? We'll see. How many of you picked up weight in the holidays? How many of you? So you need fasting. You need fasting. So fasting is a way that God Himself has appointed for His people to humble themselves before Him. How many of you know that if you are not humble, you're going to fall? Because God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. Now, I want to show you that fasting is a way of humbling. Now, if you pray, many people don't know they are proud. Do you know that? They don't know they are proud. And they pray to God to keep them humble. But the Bible says God often told the Israelites to humble themselves. Are you listening to me? In other words, the prayer for God to humble you is not a good prayer. Because God is telling you to humble yourself. Don't let me humble you. Humble yourself. And now, fasting is self-humbling. Because in Matthew 18 verse 4, the Bible says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And then Matthew 23 verse 12 says, whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. James 4:10 says, humble yourself before the Lord, and He will lift you up. James 4 verse 10. 1 Peter 5 verse 6 says, humble yourself, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that He may lift you up in due time. Hallelujah. All humble people will be lifted up, and all proud people will be brought down low. Are you listening to Pastor? Hallelujah. So, fasting is one of the greatest ways that we humble ourselves. We see in the Old Testament how the Lord came to save people who humble themselves. Both Ezra and Jehoshaphat are men of God who were in trouble, and they called upon the Lord in fasting. The Bible says, and they humbled themselves with sackcloth and ashes, and God came down from heaven to save them. I want to tell you, if there's any crisis in your life, it's 2019. You know, the dates have changed, but sometimes the crisis remains from 2018. Then one of the great, great solutions for the child of God is fasting. Fasting with prayer will break the bondage of wickedness in your life. Say amen. Something that has been holding on to you for many years, God will bring you deliverance through fasting and prayer. Ezra was on his way with the children of Israel, taking the Jews back to from Babylon back to Israel, but he was afraid of the gangsters in the desert. you see. So we could do one of two things. You could ask the king for help, or you could ask God for help. And the king would have given him security guards to help them go through the desert. But the Bible says he didn't want the king to think that the God that he serves can't help them. So he called a fast for the whole church. And the Bible says they went through the desert and there was no attack on their lives because the God who protects answered because of the humbling of the children of Israel. Hallelujah. God will protect you through the fasting and the prayer. Many of you, you know, I was listening to prayers by Bishop Dag and the team in Ghana, and they were praying for every month that the Lord will take away the angel of death. Like we don't know who of us will survive this year, isn't it? How many of you are going to see 2020? We don't know. But they started praying for January. They rebuked the spirit of death for January. Hey! Then they rebuked the spirit of death for February. And then they rebuked the spirit of death. So I think we're going to be praying those prayers in the tent if you join me in the evenings. We're going to rebuke because you will see 2020 with your own eyes in Jesus' name. Of wil jy nou al gaan? Is jy reg om te gaan? Is jou kus gekies al? What the color ribbons? Are you ready? Or do you want to stay a little longer? You can stay a little longer. You see, sometimes I see you want to see your children grow up. You want to see them sorted out, isn't it? Before you leave. Because if you leave, it's also trouble. Not you, not all of you, but some of you. Amen. Death is both a blessing and a curse. Do you understand? If nobody died, then Adolf Hitler would still be alive today. So it's a blessing that he's gone. But it's also a curse because some good people die that we want to live. We want them to live forever, isn't it so? Hey! All right, let me come back to this. So, I was saying two things. Fasting is when you put your food away voluntarily, right? Which we're going to do from tomorrow onwards. The Daniel fast is you can eat fruit and vegetables and drink water and tea, black tea with what? With honey. Anything that's natural you can drink, anything you eat. Then fasting is a way of humbling yourself before God. Are you still with me? Jesus practiced fasting. The Old Testament people practiced fasting. The disciples practiced fasting. Actually, the growth of the church happened only by fasting. They said, let's pray and fast. And the Bible says, after they prayed and fasted, they chose Saul and Barnabas for the work that God has intended for them to do. In other words, the apostles were chosen, sent out to plant churches after fasting. I'm trying to explain that it's only by fasting and prayer that the church will grow. Then also, in the book of Acts, they appointed elders to oversee the churches. And the Bible says, after they fasted, I'll give you those scriptures through the week. I'll be teaching more on fasting and prayer. After they fasted, then they appointed elders over the church. So the growth of the church is so dependent on fasting and prayer. And I want to say to the cell leaders here, if you really want to see your cells grow, the secret is fasting and prayer. Amen. En ons gaan môre begin. Oh, hallelujah. Soos opgewonde. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So the power that makes the Christian life possible is the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. No other power can enable us to live the kind of life that God requires us as Christians to live. May you receive the Holy Spirit. Pray every day for the Holy Spirit. Come for prayer to be filled with the Spirit. And you will not desire the things of the flesh. Amen. You will not desire the things of the flesh. You can't live a Christian life in your own strength and own power. You will not make it. You must be dependent on the precious Holy Spirit because Jesus went away, but he left us the Holy Spirit. And then the secret is releasing the power of the Holy Spirit in your life so that you can do the things you couldn't do. You see, when Jesus went into the desert, he had the Spirit's infilling. But the Bible says when he came out, he went with the power of the Holy Spirit. So you can receive the Spirit as an infilling, but it is the fasting that releases the power. Hey, that's good preaching, I'm telling you. That's good preaching. You can receive the Holy Spirit. You can speak in tongues. I heard a little girl the other day on Facebook. She was preaching somewhere in a town and she was also speaking in tongues. So small. But she probably just heard the big people speak, so she was mimicking the tongues. But it still doesn't give you power. Do you understand? Hoe kom ek sê swak as ek dit in Afrikaans moet sê? Daar's nie vasting in gebed nie. So you have the Spirit, but the release of the power is not there. You must read it again. Jesus went with this infilling of the Spirit, but when he came out, he went with the power of the Spirit. The power to defeat the attack of Satan. You see, because the temptation came. We say, why are all Christians, why are all Christian men so weak? There's no temptation. They fall for the temptation of the miniskirt. There's no power, you see. There's the Spirit. They speak in tongues, but there's no power. The power is ignited when the fasting is taking place. Oh, I enjoy my own preaching. If I had money, I would have given myself an offering. I'm giving you a key to some spiritual person here. Carnal people can't understand and appreciate this preaching. You can be filled, but you will not have the power. The fasting ignites the power. That's why when that man was pulled to the stage with his thin carcass like a skeleton, they said the wheelchair started popping up before he started preaching. Because the power was activated through the fasting. May you receive power. May you receive power as the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Ze gaan niet zeggen, zwaar om niet te zeggen drank. Te zwaar om niet te sê vir party. Te zwaar om niet te sê vir nie kerk toe kom nie. Te zwaar nie. You must get power. You are powerless. Your flesh is too strong. You are being led by the carnal desires. But God wants you to be led by the Spirit. Hallelujah. Jy sal so maar hoe van kerk man. Jy sal elke dag in die huis van die Here gevind word. Amen. I sent a message this morning, if you're on the Sons and Daughters, about 10 things you can do for your pastor. Somebody sent it to me and I thought it was nice. I sent it to you. 10 things you can do for your pastor. If you go home now, you open your phones and you see it is there. The first thing is that attentions regularly. Yeah, it will help your pastor. Amen. Hallelujah. All right, let me continue. I'm almost finished. Are you still around? Anybody learning anything? Jesus told his disciples in John 1 verse 8, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. He actually said to them this in effect, in order to do what I've charged you to do, you will need power greater than your own. And that power will come from the Holy Spirit. Don't go and begin to minister until the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Then Paul says in Ephesians 3 verse 20, he says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we shall ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So the Holy Spirit is a spirit of power, but you must kind of trigger it. Are you listening? By the fasting. Is there, the Spirit is there. But the power of the Spirit is released through the fasting. Hallelujah. Because it is a great power, far that you can imagine or think. Say, pastor, hoe gaan ek dit maak? Hoe gaan ons deur die krisis kom? daar is 'n krag in die Heilige Gees wat in jou is, far beyond what you could ever think, according to his power that is at work within you. Hallelujah. So it doesn't depend on your thinking and your imagination. It depends on the supernatural power that is released in us and through us. Whether it is in prayer, in preaching, or any form of service. Hallelujah. Your preaching will even be better in 2019 if you become a man of prayer and fasting. Your praying for the sick will be with power if you become a man of prayer and fasting. Praise God. I learned something in this few days that I was on holiday. I was reading my Bible a lot. And I realized something that in 2 Corinthians 10, where the Bible talks about the weapons of our warfare, it actually says that all the weapons that we have received is to fight the thoughts in the mind. And I realized the greatest enemy that we as Christians have to struggle with is thoughts and imaginations. Are you listening? That's why it's so important you come to church every Sunday so that you hear the word of God, because you are being bombarded with thoughts and imaginations that's satanic and that's earthly from Monday to Saturday. That's why some people fall by the wayside, they backslide, they don't serve God. It's a thought. A thought has come to you that something's wrong with this church. And you couldn't cast down the thoughts. Depression starts by a thought. People that are depressed, always crying. Niemand het om hartseer gemaak nie. Hy dink in sy kop iets is hier reg nie. En hy lê heeldag en hy voel heeldag depressed. All the weapons in 2 Corinthians, read it again. It's to fight thoughts and imaginations. That's why I'm always preaching so strongly against thoughts and imaginations. That's why the preaching on a Sunday is to transform your mind, your thinking. Because that's where the devil beats you every time. He beats you every time. Jy dink sommer iemand praat van jou. Mense het jou naam genoem. It's a thought. You couldn't cast it down. You couldn't. Most people are not where they should be in Christianity. Because it starts here. The battle is in the mind. And 2 Corinthians weapons, they are mighty through God to pulling down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every wicked thought that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Hey. So once you start having bad thoughts about a good place, like the church, it's a demonic thought. But you didn't know how to fight weapons. You didn't know how to cast down. You didn't know. And so it racks you my pap. And your papness affects your children and your grandchildren and whoever is connected to you. And the devil wins a whole family for his kingdom. Because one thought has destroyed your whole life. I'm preaching. In fasting and prayer, God will strengthen you in the spirit. And you will start to fight these carnal things, wicked thoughts, wicked imaginations. God can even change your thinking of a person. Do you understand? Because I can see this person and I think of all the negative things of him. But if God changes my mind and I think, but let's look at the good things of him. Why must I focus on the bad things of him? We all have bad things we can work on, isn't it? But there's good things. So immediately when I fight my thought pattern, the world becomes different for me. The world becomes a better place for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thoughts has to do with understanding. You see, when I pray for wisdom, knowledge, understanding, it's all here. It's mental, mental, mental. Let me finish. The key is knowing how to release the power of the Holy Spirit and become a channel or instrument through which he can work without hindrance. But the carnal nature opposes the Holy Spirit. Lurking everywhere in us is a rebel. That's the carnal nature. The carnal nature is in every one of us, even in Pastor Chris. I have to fight it with the Holy Spirit's power, because these two are enemies. The carnal man is an enemy of God. Are you listening? I have to fight it with the Holy Spirit's power. It's a continual fight. When Paul finished, he said, "You have fought the good fight. I finished the race." It's not the fight against people. Our weapons are not against flesh and blood. Our fight is not against flesh and blood. No. It's this inner fight, the inner fighting. You'll be destroyed by your own thoughts. You need the Holy Spirit's guidance to transform your mind, to transform your thinking. Hallelujah. There is a rebel within all of us, the carnal nature. And if you feed that dog in you, the dog will grow bigger. You fed him with bad thoughts, with bad thinking. There's a rebel in all of us. It's called the carnal nature. May the Holy Spirit's power be stronger than your carnal power. The carnal nature is in opposition to the Spirit of God. And if we yield to the carnal nature, we are opposing the Spirit of God. All of you who give in to your carnal nature, you are coming against the Spirit of God. You are coming against. The Holy Spirit says, don't go to that places. You still go. You're coming against the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit says, don't go with that friend. You still go. You're fighting against the Spirit of God. Because you follow the carnal desires. You want to receive power to resist the carnal desire? Join me in fasting and prayer. And the fasting will ignite the power. We all need it. I also need it. If you're going to be yielding to the Spirit, you must deal with the carnal nature. You must deal with the carnal nature. Because as long as the carnal nature controls and operates through you, whatever you do will be in opposition to the Spirit. You see, when the Holy Spirit came upon Jesus, where did he lead him to? After the baptism, he led him into fasting and prayer. Kaya bosheka. If you fast and pray, you will be led by the Spirit. You will be led by the Spirit if you fast and pray. The Bible talks about the old woman in the Bible waited for Jesus. Anna. She said she was in the temple daily fasting and praying. Lord, I want to be spiritual. I know I'm surrounded by people that we are all fighting the carnal thing, you see, but I can't be kept trying to revive baby Christians. No. Take me higher and deeper, I pray. I'm closing. I'm closing. The devil wants to take many people to hell with him. Do you understand? And God wants to use you as a vessel to help the dying world. But you can't do it with no power. Even you, as you come up to serve God, Satan is coming for you with temptations to destroy you, destroy your marriage, destroy your family, destroy your life, destroy your career. You make decisions that is wrong. Decisions that you make, you don't see immediately it's wrong. It takes a while, and afterwards you realize I made the wrong choice. I should have made that choice. But Satan is always involved in destroying. And if we don't have power, our carnal desire will lead us to destruction. Will lead you to destruction. You need the Holy Ghost, but you need to ignite the power. Join us in 21 days, a period of fasting and prayer. God will open your eyes to see certain things. God will break the bondages of wickedness in your life and in your family. That thing that was too hard for you will suddenly not be hard. God will open doors and will make you enter through doors. The thing that seems impossible, yes, with man it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Hallelujah. We're going to lie between the porch and the altar, waiting on the Lord. And you know, God, He changes His mind when people go into fasting and prayer. I'm telling you, God relents from what He would have done because He sees that you have changed. You see, it's a relationship. You do this, God does that. So when God sees this thing humbling, hey, when God sees you humble yourself, immediately His heart and His mind change towards you. And the destruction that was intended for you will turn around. You see, when Abram said, Lord, I pray for Lot. I pray for Lot. Don't destroy him. God said, okay, tell him to get out of Sodom and Gomorrah. Get out. Because of you, Abram, I will save your nephew, Lot. A man of prayer and fasting. Man of power. Let us all stand to our feet. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. I want to pray for some people before I go this morning. I have another service to do in Delft. And you say, Pastor, I'm weak. The carnal nature is leading and guiding me. I want the Holy Spirit's power. I want God to help me. I want to, my intentions that I have, I always have it, but I never seem to be able to stick to it. Because the enemy, the flesh, the carnal nature, it is too strong. I want to be led by the Spirit. Put Galatians 5:16 again. If I want to be led by the Spirit, I will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. I will not fulfill. Eating is one of the ways we say no to the flesh. We must master the stomach in the eating. Must punish the stomach in the eating. Punish it. Let the Holy Spirit guide your life. Then you won't do what your sinful nature craves. Bow your heads, close your eyes. If there's somebody here this morning, you say, Pastor Chris, pray for me. I want to serve God. I'm not serving God the way I should. I really want to serve God. Put up your hand, I will pray for you. Somebody, you say, Pastor, I have desires, but I don't seem to live up to it. I'm weak. Who is like that? Let me pray for you. Put up your hand. Don't be ashamed. I see you. Is there anybody else? I see another hand. Is there anybody else? I see some hands. Now come forward. I want to pray for those people. Don't be ashamed. Step out while they sing this beautiful song. Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Pass me not, O gentle Savior.
Please hear my humble cry, and whilst on earth is thou art holy, please do
not pass me by.
Blessed Savior, please hear my humble cry. Whilst on earth is thou art holy, do not pass me.
I want to say the sinner's prayer because there might be some of you that are coming to receive Jesus. So pray this prayer after me. Say, Dear Jesus, And all of you, even if you are already saved, pray this prayer. It's a good prayer. Say, dear Jesus, please forgive me of all my sin. I'm sorry for all I've done. Wash me with your precious blood. Make me a new person. From today, I give you my heart. I give you my life. I want to serve you. I want to follow you. But Lord, my flesh is so strong. I need the power of the Holy Spirit. Give me the power of your precious Holy Spirit. Fill me with the anointing that will break the yoke. I want to resist the flesh. I want to suppress the carnal nature. I want my spirit man to be strong. Please help me, Lord. I know you can. I know you will. Help me to say no to the wrong friends. Help me say no to pleasure. In the days of Noah and in the days of Lot, many people were lost. Please, Lord, save me. I don't want to be lost. I thank you now for answering my prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Before you sit down, I want to lay hands on you for strength. But the igniting of the power will come in the fasting, okay? But this is the laying on of hands. Father, in the name of Jesus, may there be transformation by the laying on of my hands. In the name of Jesus, strengthen them. Keep them from all wickedness. We all need your power. We all need your mercy and your grace. Help us to resist the devil. Help us to resist the flesh. Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. You may go sit down.
Holy, do not pass.